The book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1. You know, I know there's a lot of talk while you're turning that. Well, let me correct one thing first. I appreciate she checked on Mildred and Jimmy, and they just had some difficulty in sleeping last night and were real tired, so they didn't come this morning. Correction, her surgery is on Wednesday. She confirmed what day she's having that, so keep her and Jimmy in your prayers for Wednesday. A lot of talk in our community and on the news and everywhere else about the eclipse. And I am amazed that we are going so crazy over an eclipse. God made it, and we know how it orbits around, and occasionally those things happen. But, you know, wouldn't it be one, you know, imagine what it would be like if we were that wound up in that much talk about the return of Jesus Christ, the real Son, not the fireball in the sky, but the real Son. And even with that, you'll hear people want to talk about the apocalypse and Armageddon and all, but they focus on the battle, not on the one who's coming. Wouldn't that be great to have that instead as the conversation and being prepared for it? But God has always promised that He will be faithful and true. His word will stand. And so the title of the message today is He Will Carry You Through. And the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 1, God gives us the example of His faithfulness and how He will carry us through. And so this morning, you know, the terrain, as we're going to read here in Deuteronomy, has to do with the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt and they began to move across their way to the promised land because of their lack of belief, their lack of trusting in the Lord despite what He had done. Is they would go through the wilderness. And it's really interesting sometime if you look at one of the old world maps that they were not that far away from the promised land, but yet it took them 40 years to even get there. They just kind of went around in a circle and wandering around. And, you know, you can't really judge them because we wander around today in the same way, failing to listen to what God has to say. But I want to look at a couple of things that God told them from the beginning. He follows it up. We'll look in Deuteronomy. We'll look in Isaiah. And we'll finish in the New Testament in 1 John. Well, BC there come real close to reading my scripture, but he missed it by one. So that's all right. We'll get there. So Deuteronomy chapter 1. Invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. We're going to begin in verse 29. And as you think about the children of Israel as they're the example, and we have an idea at least today what the landscape is like over there, it is in a lot of times desolate. There are oases, but you also got to remember they're traveling when they had no map, nothing to guide them as far as, you know, Siri hadn't come on the scene yet, so they couldn't. They couldn't follow the directions. They didn't have a map. There was no atlas for them. But yet they were on a journey. And God said, I will be the one who will guide you and direct you. And He is still the one in our lives today. You compare that terrain to the terrain of your life. When you think of it that way, our terrain changes. Sometimes without notice. It's suddenly gotten real rocky and rough. And other times it's plush and it has a green valley. And sometimes then there's swamps and everything else with all sorts of critters of life. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you according to all He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way that you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. You may be seated. God has brought them to the place called the Promised Land. Now, that was a physical place here on earth. He has a promised land for you and I. Call it heaven. And our life, just like the children of Israel in their struggle and their trip, as OKR used to say, another trip around the mountain. In that trip, going around, they went around a few mountains several times. And I don't know about y'all, but I've been around a few of them mountains in my life as well. And we don't pay attention. And even as he writes here, as God directs Moses to write these words, and of course Moses was with him, the first thing he tells them is don't be afraid. You know, there's a lot of fearful things in life. We can't see. We like to think we can, but we can't see what's going to happen this afternoon. I jumped out, you know, Friday night, drove my truck and everything, and yesterday was here, drove a different truck because I pulled the trailer and all, but we bounced out of the house this morning, jumped out there in the truck, hit that push button. That was it. Silence. Not even a click. Just quiet. Oops. Sure glad you blessed us with another truck. Okay, let's get out, swap keys, swap stuff, and let's move. And that sometimes is the way life is. It's without warning. You know? Didn't have any inclination. You know, at least the old batteries used to give you a little, And you went, uh-oh, I need a new battery. Today, it ain't there, you know. It's that fast. Now, I did have Mater over this week, so, you know, a little of that may have rubbed off. Quit touching my truck. But God says here, he says, look, and I'm going to paraphrase what we just read. He said, you have seen what I have done. I showed you my power in Egypt before Pharaoh with all of the different plagues and all of the signs and the wonders that Moses, by God, performed for them to see. He showed them again as they crossed the sea. He parted the waters. And yet, here they are. He's promised them this land, and they don't believe. You know, even though they saw these things with their own eyes, and they, because they're wandering around, don't know which way to go, God says, I will guide you. You'll see my spirit in a cloud by the day, and at night there will be a pillar of fire to guide and direct you. I'll meet your needs. You had hunger. You had thirst. He provided manna. He provided water. You remember Moses was told to strike the rock so that water came forth. And that's what he did. There was water for everybody. And yet they do not believe. We can't judge them because, folks, we're in the same way. We get more giddy and all worked up about the sun going to be eclipsed with the moon than we do knowing about salvation and knowing Jesus Christ. We get more worked up about a football game than we do about coming to church. We holler when they make a touchdown, but yet, where's the hoops and the hollers when someone accepts Jesus Christ? Where's the hoops and the hollers when someone who knows the Lord goes home? It's not our culture, it's not our way, right? We don't pay attention to what God is already there and what He will do. And the terrain of our life oftentimes is similar to wandering around in the wilderness because we have no guide, no direction, and because of our own pride and our stiff neck, we don't want to ask the Lord to give us guidance and direction. You know, I often talk, almost every time I have that in my prayer is praying for our leaders. to gain discernment and wisdom, and decisions that they make. It's not just for them. I do it for me too. Decisions come up every day for you and I to make. Problem is, I can make decisions based on plans that I think are going to take place, or if I see in my forecast, and I got news for you, my crystal ball is awful hazy. But yet God sees it clearly. And all we have to do is ask. He's made that promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Turn, if you will, over to Isaiah chapter 46. Notice, because God realized that what we needed, He presents this and has the prophet Isaiah to write this for you and I. And I realize a lot of folks, as Herman was talking about, we're getting older. You know, I can just hope I can be around as long as Miss Jean is, and to be as spry as she is, and she's got all of her faculties. And if y'all hadn't had the chance to visit with her, visit with her. She'd take you all the way back when they fought the Alamo and won our independence. In fact, she was born on that day, so she remembers it well. Oh, Miss Jean, you're fun to have. Isaiah chapter 46, beginning in verse 4. Listen to these words, and they should be a comfort to each and every one of us, regardless of our age. Verse 4, Lord is speaking. He says, "Even to your old age, I am He. And even to the gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? There is no other. But just like the children of Israel in our daily walk, although we may accept Jesus Christ, we even as Christians fail to invoke Him in everything that we do, to invite Him in all of our decisions or our plans so that He gives us a clear picture and a guidance and a direction. We look at people today who lose hope and feel like no one cares or there's no one there for them and their life has become such a disaster, but yet there is that person. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, "I will give you peace. I will give you my joy." He will never forsake us, never leave us. That same Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that was in that cloud, that was in that fire, that dwelled within the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant in there, that is the same Spirit that dwells inside of us, each individually, because of what Christ did on that cross. Jesus said, "I will send you the Comforter. He will guide you. He will teach you." We fail to listen to our guide. So often we think that our way is a better way. Well, I got news for y'all. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I don't want to depend on me. I want to depend on the guy who knows where we're going and what we're doing. I can't see those things ahead. I've asked you to pray for one of my coworkers, Bobby, that I mentioned. 3 weeks prior to anything being known what was wrong with him, all he did was feel like, he said, "You know, I'm just kind of tired. I just don't have the energy I had." And then he started having a little belly pain the following week, and he goes to the doctor and says, "You know, it just won't go away, and I'm just tired." And they run some tests, and they said, "You have cancer, stage 3, in your stomach. But we don't think it's in the lymph nodes, so we want to do some more tests." He has some more tests done. Sure enough, it's lymphoma. 3 weeks. You know, and he, as I talked to him, that was his question to me. He said, "How can it just show up in 3 weeks? And it's a rough ordeal for him. And I understand that. But it also reminds me that, except by God's grace, that could be me. Could be you. And many of you have fought and are fighting different types of illnesses, different things in your life. But yet we can take comfort by knowing and having Jesus Christ in our life. He says, I will carry you. See, we all remember those times when our child was young. And oftentimes you took them out with you wherever it may have been, and the terrain is a little rough, or they get so tired that they can't make it, or yet maybe they're not quite where they're walking and really stable on their feet. See, all things come back around in a circle, because as we get older, we're not as stable on our feet. And we carry that child. We pick them up in our arms and put them on our back or in our arms to the front or whatever. You know, now they got them neat little things the Indians always had. We talked about papooses, and they carry them up front or on the back. So that's how we do it. And we carry them. Thank goodness there's a God who promises, I'll carry you. In those times where we don't see the light, but it seems like it's all downhill and it's darkness, He promises, I will carry you. He said, I made you, is what we read here. He said, I have made you, I know you, and I will bear you. What great words of comfort. When a loved one passes and the sorrow hits deep, the Lord says, I will bear you. I'll carry you. I'll comfort you. I will be there for you. That is the great hope that you and I have to share with a world in darkness. Jesus said it so many different ways. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. You and I are to give them that example that, hey, there's something better in life than life itself. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who created all the things and makes the light, even in the darkness, because He is there. He says, I will lead you. I will be right there with you. You and I do not have to face life alone. And facing life can be an awful burden. Sometimes there's highs, and we can giggle and we can laugh, but so many times there's tragedy. There's things that are very difficult for us to see or to understand, but yet He understands, and if we trust Him, He promises, just as Paul writes there for us, that all things work to His glory. In Romans 8:28, He makes us that promise that all things will work for His glory and His honor. Turn, if you will, over to 1 John now, chapter 5. You got close, B.C. What B.C. read is very much a part of what we talked about and what we're looking at today about knowing our Lord because of love and the love that God has displayed to us, where you and I can give that hope and talk of that hope to others that we know and we care about and want to try to comfort. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning in 1, he says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is the begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, that we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. You know, that's one of the biggest lies of the devil, is he wants to try to tell us, oh, you'll be all heavy, loading down with all these rules and regulations that God has done. It's not it. You see, if we keep that old worldly heart, if we don't give our heart to Jesus Christ, yeah, they become burdensome, because just like the Ten Commandments, we can't meet that standard. Any of you ever worked for anybody that, you know, they came around with evaluations and they said, okay, we're going to rate you on a scale of 1 to 5 or whatever the number being, 5 being excellent, and if you get that excellent, you get X amount of raise. If you do a 3 or 4, you get this. If you get a 2 and a 1, you don't get nothing, right? You're lucky that we keep you around. And so they have you rate you. One of the new things, you know, that came out here a few years back is they have you rate yourself first, and then your boss rates you. So I always thought that was fun, you know. First few times I tried to answer it righteously, and then I began to play with it just because I'm ornery. And so I would say, I'm just all exceptional. And it was funny, because then he'd get it back and goes, well, I agree you're exceptional, but you're not quite there. I said, well, what does it take to get a five? Well, I don't know anybody ever reaches five. Then why do you have it on the scale? I mean, you know, it's kind of like being at the races, at the dog race. They put that little rabbit around there. That poor dog ain't ever going to catch that rabbit. Why do you even bother having it? There is no prize. That's like telling me go out there and play, you know, football. Problem is, 1 yard line is as close as I'd ever get to scoring points. Why do we even bother having a goal line then? The fallacies of man. We're smart, right? If we put that out there, you'll achieve to get it. Yeah, well, some of us figure it out, it ain't there, so we just don't care, right? But we don't work for him. We work for our Lord. So we want to do the very best that we can. God doesn't put the goal out there you or I can't reach. Matter of fact, he's already paid that goal. He's paid the price of it. All you and I have to do is accept it. Here in a few weeks, we'll celebrate Easter. The price was paid right there by his son. See, God's the teacher that created the curve to begin with on the grading. He's the one who says, I don't see you the way you are. I see you through the blood of my son when you accept him. And you're exceptional. God calls it holy and righteous. He continues on here in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. You know, so oftentimes we talk about faith and, you know, we have a statement of faith in our church doctrine. And people oftentimes when you meet them, they'll say, well, what faith are you? The faith of Jesus Christ. Well, no. I mean, what denomination are you? Doesn't matter about the denomination. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, then you're worshiping the wrong thing. It ain't the right denomination. Period. We want to categorize everything. It's just our nature and what we've been brought up in, right? Problem is today there are no categories. It's just whatever makes you feel good. No, that can't happen either. Because you see, I have an old carnal, sinful nature that I was born with. So if I do what makes me feel good, I can almost bet you that's 99 to 100% contrary to what God says. I want that new heart. I don't want to be burdened by the rules of what people think and man thinks and what the world says, whether I'm in line or not in line. I want to be able that I am not burdened because I give it through my faith in Jesus Christ. All of my sins have been forgiven. I'm not special. He'll forgive everyone. It's what his promise was in John 3:16. Whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. That everlasting life, that promised land that is mine and yours, only comes through Jesus Christ. You can be special, but you'll never be good enough. None of us are. That's why he went to that cross. He continues on. Verse 4, or whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, if you believe he is the Son of God and you accept him in your life, you have overcome this world. Scripture further tells us that despite all of the things that we see going on in our world today, despite all the evil things that we see taking place, the evil cannot stand at the name of Jesus. You ever wondered why the world says, well, you can pray, but you can't pray it in Jesus' name? That's your flag right there. You can use God because many people have different gods. You're right, they sure do. But there's only one true living God. Therefore, His Son is named Jesus Christ. And it is by Him, and only by Him, that I have the privilege to actually call the Almighty God I Am. The Israelites had the word for God we call Yahweh. When they pronounced it, it was not that way. They didn't. Some folks will call it Yahweh, but it's the same, whichever dialect, the true way it is given. But they did not speak. It was simply breathing. It was in their mind only that they called it Yahweh. And what you would hear out of them in true dialect was just, they just let that air flow. Because they didn't believe they were holy enough to speak His name. Jesus changed that. I can say His name. And by Him, I have the privilege to call upon my God, my Father. And so do you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you will go through, our God, the great I Am, the Yahweh, says, I will carry you through it. I will bear you. I'll be right there. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. That's my faith, and I hope that is your faith. That's why He says the faith has overcome the world. The world's greatest last card the old devil has is death. But you see, Jesus defeated that card because He raised from the dead. And He promises you and I, if we believe in Him, our life does not end here. We have everlasting life. As we talk about those who have passed this week and those that you know have passed of your own loved ones in the past, if they know Jesus Christ, that grave's not the end. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a new life. That life promised. As much as God promised the Israelites the promised land, heaven above is mine and your promised land. But you can only get there through Jesus Christ. Invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm done. If you don't know Jesus,